And welcome to Awesome Fishing Radio. And how you doing, Captain Hank? I just blew your eardrums right out the backside, didn't I?
Yeah, turn his mic down.
Oh, man, it's makes you just want to go snook fishing right now. Looking outside the studio, it is pouring down rain. Some of my best snook fishing has been in storms like that. Have you ever fished in storms like that?
No, my parents kind of taught me to get the hell out of the rain.
That's for sure. But you know where we used to really do good was fishing Apollo Beach. All those runoffs.
Yep.
You know, and I tell all the listeners, I mean, after a storm and you have all the road runoff, those snook just, it's like a feeding station. There's like gigantic potholes at the ends of all the storm drain pipes. And it just stacks up snook a lot of times in those pocket holes.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's where I lived for about 2 years. You know, we had that place on the water and had my boat right behind up on a lift. I mean, it was really nice, except for the fact that that power plant dumped all that soot on my boat every friggin' day. So the rain was a welcome sight to wash all that soot down them storm drains. It's wound up in them fish. And, you know, the mercury levels definitely jumped just a tad bit, but.
Yeah, I was just kind of wondering. I noticed the other night when you were, I don't know where you were, you just kind of glowed. Sort of like eating redfish over in the Mosquito Lagoon. Now, you know, if you think about that, we're not saying that there's anything wrong with those redfish, but you think about all those multiple spots, and there's nowhere else in the world that those redfish are like that.
That's true. Well, you know, back when Charlie came through, and I was living over there, and Cargill had that dump twice in Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's when I had the flats boat, and I was selling the flats boat. So I took it out on the old demo ride and came back, and one of the FWC officers was at the Apollo Beach Marina. So we pull on up, and she goes, "How's the water?" I go, "Look at my live well. I forgot to turn the pickup off." And she opened up my live well. It looked like somebody took a dump in it. It Gross. Was that bad and smelled that bad.
Man.
And that's just from all that crap sitting out there after those twice Cargill dumped in there with them four storms coming through.
Well, you know, when they did that dump, did you, how far offshore was that?
Offshore? No. It was right next door to a
But what
Beach.
Was the one where they were taking the boats offshore and dumping the water from that reservoir? Remember when they had that tainted water that they couldn't do nothing with, and so they had to pump it down, and they were taking tankers offshore out in the Gulf and dumping it. And some of the guys, some of the captains reported of large migration fish kills of tarpon just floating dead out there in the Gulf.
Not surprised.
And they claimed to the American public, you know, "Oh, no, it ain't going to hurt nothing. It ain't going to affect nothing."
You know, right.
It wouldn't be in a toxic waste dump if it was okay. They'd run it right back through the tap water system.
Desal. You know, that's the other thing. You know, Apollo Beach has got that desal plant. Oh, my God. Can you imagine what they're
doing? Some of the worst place to suck water from.
It is. They're pulling all that Cargill crap through there, desaling it.
You know where the kids live, and when they smile and their teeth look kind of green and rotted out, you know.
Oh, man.
And we better get out of the politics. So, anyhow, Hank, we were going to have Captain Keith Cobflosh from Bass Pro, but he decided that it was just too much rain for him to try to drive across today, which I don't blame him. I mean, if you look at it, it looks like that hurricane took and came west and sitting on Florida or something, the way it's raining right now.
Yeah. Well, he still has no excuse, because I drive from Venice, which is twice the distance.
Yeah, that's true.
But I just got those Michelin tires on there, you know. They hold the road. Also, I drive a Toyota, you know, that holds the road.
You drive a Toyota. I'm trying to think. He drives a Ford. That's the reason why. So.
Family of, never mind.
But anyhow, this week, to all of our listeners, Captain Steve is playing hooky, and he's down south in your neighborhood.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, he was at that strip joint, Deja Vu, when I drove by on the way up here.
I don't think so. Not Captain Steve.
Hey, before I get off the track, when I was coming up here, I got a fishing report from an angler, a 15-year-old kid. I'm taking him out August 14th. His dad booked me for a trip. This kid evidently is becoming quite the angler. And Josh Rich is his name. And he ended up caught a bunch of tarpon up there in Bradenton right now. He found this little pocket And I'll tell you, of course, when we're off the air, so if I don't give his spot away and he gets bombarded. But Josh had told me that he found this one area where they are catching probably at least 15 to 20 tarpon. They're, you know, the 60 to 90-pound range. He said he even got 100-pound. And I gave him some of that gulp, that white new, that sinking minnow. You know what I'm telling you about?
Yeah, how'd that work out?
That's what he's catching them on. I gave him one of the big tubs that I got from Mahoney's. You know, I gave him one of those tubs to try about a week ago. And they are tearing the heck out of redfish back up in Tampa Bay off it. Because I only gave him the white color.
Well, you know.
And he is doing great with that
last
stuff.
Week's show, we had Greg Watts from the Watts Brothers Fishing Team.
Yeah, he's my hero.
And he was in here, and we were talking, and he said the hot gulp right now is that sinking minnow.
And great.
They said it just really works.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
I got some in my truck because I'm staying at that hotel in Tampa, which is right on the water. So I'm going to be out busting that. There's snook all over there because at night that hotel, you know, puts that light off across the bay, and there's a bunch of rocks right there. It's Sailport, you know, right there on Rocky Point.
And
yeah, I've been staying there when I come up to Tampa, and you should see all the snook hanging out
there.
Have
you walked back down the jetty area there from those hotels?
Yep.
And you know where that flow through is?
Yep.
So,
yep.
That is the...
Absolutely.
I had a guy that I used to work for. He was strictly kind of a land fisherman, and he knew all the hot spots of Tampa. I have to tell you another one that is only on tidal movement. And if you look up on the shelf there, see the Rapala laying by the big old, the big Rapala?
Yeah. The white, kind of white with a reddish head.
That thing there is called the Olive Flash Twitching Wrap. I don't know if you've ever used them, but son, do they love that lure. The only problem is you have to operate on that lure after you pick it up from Rapala. For some reason, the snook want to short strike it. They'll nail it, but they'll come off. And so you have to put that VMC hook on the back that has that one hook that offsets. And, Murph, who was it that told me about it? Murphy had told me. No, Murphy did not tell me. A guy over at Bill Jackson's had told me about it, that used to work over there. And he said, I told him what was going on with the lure. He said, put the VMC, the offset treble on the back. He said, I solved the problems. It did. Tremendous lure. It's a balsa wood lure. And I know you used to mess with some wood
actually
lures.
Actually, I'm still making them.
And but the action on this lure, who got me using them was Murph, and just tremendous lure. But I can show you, tell you a little place over there on the other side of the bay, over there off the Gandy area, that you can drive up with your truck and step out of the truck, cast a few times if they're there. I sat there and hooked seven of them one day within just every cast just and hooked them. I mean, they're nice. So there's a lot of areas, you know, to our listeners that you can still fish off the land.
Oh, we're doing Saturday night. We're doing a snook trip off of Palm Island. So they got my clients. They come up every year, and this year it's going to be great because they're going to be up for a whole week. Actually, I'm picking their boat up, so we're going to be running two boats. And we were talking about it, you know, so we're going to do right off Palm Island. We're going to do a snook trip. I've seen a ton of snook up there. And that same kid, Josh, him and his dad went over to Anna Marie Island, and I know a couple little holes I was telling them about, and they said the snook are piled in there. And they're doing really good, but they're doing early morning snook. They went out with the Mad Snooker a couple weeks ago.
David Pomaloo.
That's the man. And they went out with him a couple weeks ago, did that bridge fishing, and of course, you know, they caught a lot of snook, and of course they were the normal 22 to 24 size. They did get one keeper.
Usually he claims to catch such monsters.
Okay. Well, moving right along. Hey, Dave's a good guy. I like Dave. He's definitely made a great name for himself with his snook.
I was just kind of patting myself there, too, to see if I could imitate. But
hey, he's all right. Just in case you ever listen to this show, Dave. You're all right.
You know, I tell you, have I introduced you to Rodney Van Horn yet?
The name rings a bell.
East Coast. And anyhow, Rodney, I've got to get him over here. You would enjoy talking to him. This guy eats, sleeps, and dreams of snook fishing in Sebastian Inlet.
That's the guy you were telling me about that catches the monster snook.
I mean, honestly, gotcha. If you look at some of those monsters hanging on the wall there, those were from fishing with Rodney over there. And he throws, did I show you the jigs he uses?
Yeah, the big white bucktails.
Yeah. But if you're going to be down near Palm Island, are you going to be doing any evening fishing?
Absolutely.
Okay. White, I'm going to give you a tip here. White bucktail.
I got those, plenty of them.
3/8 white bucktails. And sit on the north side of Stump Pass on an evening outgoing tide.
Yep.
Anchor off 30 foot off the shoreline and throw those jigs onto the sand. You're trying to catch sand fleas with them. I'm just joking. Hits the sand and you work it back into the surf. Probably ain't 3 foot, 4 foot off the shore. Boom. Last time I was in there and we caught that outgoing tide evening time right before the no-see-ums chew you out. Me and Daryl did 48 snook in an hour's time with bucktails. And, I mean, we had some that took our lunch away. I mean, just hosed us.
We've done really good. My wife and I know that spot, and we'll go up there. We pulled 23 snook out in an hour.
Mm-hmm. The only problem to fishing that is the stupid dolphins.
Yep.
Because they want to come eat your snook or mess with them or hurt them or do whatever. So.
Absolutely. But we did go out. You were telling me about the rock piles.
Uh-huh. Did you find them?
Yeah, we found them. Another local who lives down there, he told me, Ernie Rubio. And the guy's just a phenomenal fisherman. He has this, you might have seen it once while I was at Mahoney's. It's like a 24-foot shallow draft. And he's got that boat down there. So he turned me on to a couple other rock formations, and we were just hammering grouper out of there.
Any size?
A couple of them were around the 22s, you know, just barely. So we just threw them all back. And there's a guy out there in a wannabe Hughes fly fishing. So I started laughing, trying to fly fish for grouper.
It can be done. It's a tough adventure.
He didn't do very well because he kind of got upset. We pulled up, anchored up, and within 2 seconds, we're catching fish out of there, one after another. I had this little four-year-old with me. Little four-year-old's just railing the heck in at a grouper, and finally they got mad, pulled up, and took off. Look at you trying to see. We got this tarpon video on. It's called Location X.
Did you see the guy's fly line?
Yeah.
It looked like a bird's nest going out the end of his fly rod. It probably cleaned all of his guides off.
I don't know, but that looks like a pretty good-sized tarpon he's got on there. I had a guy call me up, wanted to book a trip, and he goes, I want to book a trip with you, you know, this week. And, well, of course, I told him I'm all filled up. So he goes, I want a tarpon fish. So I said, all right, well, here's the name of a couple of guides that you can talk to. And he goes, what do they get? I said, $1,000 to $1,200. Well, that's a lot of money. I said, then I guess you don't want to catch tarpon. You just want to hook them. So I can give you some names of some guys that'll charge you some money. You can hook them. Doubt you'll catch them, but you know, they're loaded down there. When we were up on that rock formation, we had two giant tarpon come right by the boat.
Well, they weren't even Captain afraid of the Steve boat. Had someone the other day say the pass was dead, and then I turned around and I talked to your great fellow friend that you like from the Guides Association.
Oh, and Mr. DM.
And anyhow, he informed me, no, that the snook were, they are, I mean, the tarpon were still there. Yep. And I said, well, why was it there was no one in the past? He said, no one was probably fishing them. He says, the fuel, he says, it's keeping our numbers of people down. He says, you burn so much fuel fishing them in the past. He says, only a few of us will go in there and actually spend the time and the money and the gas.
Sure. I launched out of Charlotte Harbor, out of their little ramp. It took me about 45 minutes to get from there, running about 40 mile an hour to get out to the pass. So I can see what these guys are talking about. But we went out there Thursday, and there was maybe six boats in the pass. That was it. But these tarpon weren't, the ones that I seen, were off that rock formation. They weren't really in the pass. They're about a half a mile from there. And there were plenty tarpon rolling out there. And I had a whole live well full of threads, but no tarpon rods. But we were, you know, we had the four-year-old with us, and it was her trip, and I didn't even think about, you know, tarpon.
Hmm.
So
that's when you do light line, light tackle.
Yeah.
So our engineer is motioning to us. I think we're getting to that wind down time of that first segment, and we've got to go pay a couple bills, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Andy Thornell Company, outdoor clothing, footwear, and equipment since 1945. Our Orvis Fly Shop is one of the best in Florida, with over 700 fly patterns for saltwater, bass, and panfish. And we have a few hundred trout flies when you head for the mountains. And if you tie your own flies, we stock all of the materials and tools. Waders, vests, and the coolest fishing gadgets, including Boga Grips and Calusa cast nets, are in stock. We wear fishing shirts year-round, and we have some of the best prices on Columbia, Ex Officio, and Under Armour shirts, including the new sunproof t-shirts and the buff headgear. And we realize that you cannot play every day, so we have some unexpected surprises, sport coats, dress shirts, and even neckwear for the gentlemen, and the ladies always find their way back to our custom jewelry shop. Andy Thornell Company, downtown Winter Haven, 299-9999, andythornell.com.
Okay, Steve, cast over there at 12 o'clock right there. See the fish?
How far?
See them?
How far?
Over there about 40 foot. Cast.
I can't see them. I'm not going to cast till
Steve,
I can see them.
Steve, put your Costas on right now. Those new 580 lenses. You've got to turn around and have them on where you can see these fish, man, or you're going to blow our day.
There they are. Watch this, Keelan. Here they go.
Man, great hookup, man.
Come see us at Andy Thornell Company, downtown Winter Haven.
Mudhole Custom Tackle is the premier dealer for custom rod building. Whether it's rod blanks or top quality guides, Mudhole has everything you need to build your own rods. But Mudhole Custom Tackle is much more than just a component store. Located in Oviedo, Mudhole Custom Tackle is a complete fishing outfitter. They carry everything from spinning tackle to push poles. From fly fishing gear to tackle boxes, Mudhole has it all. You can check them out at mudhole.com or visit them in their Central Florida showroom in Oviedo. And make sure you tell them you heard about them on Awesome Fishing Radio.
And welcome back to Awesome Fishing Radio. That's pretty good sounding tunes, wasn't it?
Yeah, not bad at all. So. Although I still wanted Ashley Simpson, you know, the one where she did the orange ball. Ah! And everybody wanted to kill her.
Oh, I tell you what, man. Anyhow.
Yeah, so you say old Captain Steve is heading down my neck of the woods, huh?
Yeah, I figured he'd call you by now.
Ah, shoot. He's scared. He don't want to catch no fish.
Yeah, I think he was wanting to kind of find out your spots or something. But you see, he ain't never fished that area where you're at. He's never went north. He's like me. So many snook down there where we're at, we don't need to go north and mess with your little babies up there.
Yeah, leave my little children alone now.
Exactly.
That's right. We talk about that. I even go further south than you guys. I drive around your little spots.
So where are you going down south?
Shoot, I've been in Cayo Costa.
Really?
Yeah. I'll be in Estero Bay in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be interesting. I haven't done Estero Bay in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a couple guys. Mahoney's actually was asking me if I'd take him down the Stereo Bay and hook him up. I said, yeah, sure. Those guys are really good to me. They helped me with that fishing tournament, you know, I'd put on at the Venice Yacht Club. Mm-hmm. That was a blast. Caught a lot of snook. We had a lot of snook around them docks. You know, I was chumming them for a couple of weeks to get them all fat and happy, but those kids had a blast. And matter of fact, those pictures are on my computer. I got to email them over to you.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good time. But, yeah, it's been pretty productive down there, I have to say. But I just really started fishing Cayo Costa again.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a few years, you know, because I like Stump Pass. You know, it's beautiful there, but we're getting a lot of boats piled up in there.
Mm-hmm.
So the water's been really nice. You know, it's been about maybe a foot of chop at best at the harbor. So
well,
it's easy to make the runs.
The thing about it is when I fish down around Inglewood, Boca Grande, I don't seem to have any boating issues or any boating problems at all. I don't know what your deal is.
I'm well-recognized and well-respected down there, and everybody wants to be like me. So they follow me around.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, you're smart enough to understand that.
I might see one or two other boats out there. I think you're just having a figment of my imagination there or something, you know.
It could be. It's so hot out there lately. You know, it might be hallucinating.
That's the reason.
That's what it is.
That's the reason why, you know, I'm down there at 10 o'clock, 11, 12, 1. You don't see too many people down there.
Yeah, you see, that's what it is. Now, where I live in the city of Venice, I think there's just an unwritten law that you got to be off the street at 6 o'clock p.m. The town closes up.
Actually, if I'm not mistaken, Inglewood and Boca Grande actually has a little key that, at the end of the street that they just kind of crank up the roads, just kind of roll it all together.
This is no kid. My wife and I, we went out Sunday and to go get something to eat. So we frequently go to this British pub, and it's open every Sunday. Well, we pulled up Sunday. It was closed at 6 o'clock. Dope. That was a good hit, by the way. A rubber band
grazed him.
Nicked him on the side there.
Woke the engineer up.
Yeah. So then we leave that place. Now, this is 6 o'clock on Sunday because it was closed. We went over to our other little place, our little fishing place, Robbie's. It was closed. I go to a pizza place. It was closed. Can you imagine a pizza place being closed on a Sunday?
Jeez.
At 6 o'clock? Well, that's Venice. I mean, the whole town just rolls up and dies. And
oh, when me and Blake were down there, we ate at that one restaurant y'all have in town, that that Mel's Diner.
You ate at Mel's?
Yeah, remember me, you yeah. and Blake? And
But that was breakfast.
Yeah.
That was different. We're talking about dinner.
Dinner, it'd be gone.
Yeah, you ain't eating at no dinner in our place. But you know, when the tourists come back in October, you know, when our snowbirds come back, we are open until 6:45, so.
6:45.
You have to go to Walmart and eat at the inside McDonald's if you want anything past 7.
Let me ask you, is there a rule down there in that area that if you open up a business, you're required to close down at a certain time? Because if not, you really could clean house, open up a pizza shop that would stay open until 12 or 1.
Well, no, because most 68 on that people go to bed around 6 o'clock. So, I mean, the early bird's over by 4:30. They're done. You know, the average age of Venice is 68. That's only because my wife and I moved in there. Before it was like, I think, 69. So, a lot of old farts in Venice. But it's quiet. You know, I can't complain. So, and if something, like I was telling you, when you dropped your boat off, you don't have to worry about anybody stealing anything. You got 3 days to catch up to them. They can only go so fast on that walker.
Shoot. I tell you what, man. Well, I tell you, I talked to Captain Keith today, and like I said, he was unable to come over due to the rain. But the East Coast seems to be happening, depending upon the wind over there. Evidently, that hurricane sitting off the coast over there has got the chop built up.
Yeah.
And so...
Yeah, that thing's been a real booger, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's drug itself, just, hasn't it?
Yeah, just sitting out there doing nothing. It's a tropical storm now from what I've seen this morning. It's starting to make a turn. Mm-hmm. You know, that low pressure sitting over top of us, it's just not going anywhere because that storm is just sitting out there.
Hmm.
But it looks like Saturday and Sunday and Monday, they're calling for 30%. So I'm kind of hoping that's true. I'd like to have my clients have at least some decent weather. Hmm. If not, you know, I'll make sure I got my raincoat on, and I'll let them sit out there and get wet. Part of the experience, you know, it's like going to Busch Gardens, going down that log ride.
Yeah.
Get wet.
I heard Busch Gardens got sold.
I'm not surprised. Bud got sold, you know.
Okay. Yeah, they were talking about it this morning, that they don't know what's going to happen to the theme parks. And
yeah, what foreign country bought Busch Gardens now?
Actually, it was a foreign country that bought it, I think from Holland, maybe.
Well, Belgium bought Busch or Budweiser.
Well, that might have been it then. Yeah. I mean,
but you know what? That would be it because they would acquire it if they bought Budweiser.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Budweiser and Busch, same Anheuser.
Hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I wonder what that means to our yearly passes out the window.
I don't know, but you know, the NASCAR boys are just dying right now. I mean, first Toyota invaded their circuit, and now they're bought out. Damn. Oh, well. Sam Adams is a still American-made beer, so. Hey, come on now.
Huh. Well, anyhow, as far as the East Coast goes over there, I'm actually going to go over. I'm not going to be over there this weekend, but the following weekend I'm going to be over there and do some of the kingfish and the Kobe and shark and the...
Yeah, what restaurant are you going to?
Actually, it's Have you done? I mean, you grew up in Miami, correct?
See,
exactly. But have you ever fished up that way, Port Canaveral, Cocoa?
Yeah,
that area for offshore.
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, great fishery.
Great kingfish fishery, exactly. And dolphin. Believe it or not, I like the dolphin fishery up there better than I like the Keys. I'm telling you.
Well, anyhow, I think we got to go pay a couple bills.
Yeah, what the heck.
And we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, this is Captain Keelan with Awesome Fishing Radio. I want to share with you what has become my new favorite tackle shop. Tampa Fishing Outfitters is located just north of Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. These guys have a great store with fantastic selections of rods, reels, and everything else you need for a great day on the water. Be sure to check out our new Ohiro brand of rods. And here's my own secret tip for you. Be sure to pick up some of the Ohiro fluorocarbon. It's almost invisible in the water, and it really helps me to put more fish in the boat.
And don't forget Lee Fisher cast nets. These nets use the dragon head swivel, which makes opening the net much easier. That means more bait and quicker fishing for you. Tampa Fishing Outfitters is my new favorite place to buy all my fishing supplies, and I really think you'll like it. They're open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. and on Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Come out and see what quality fishing gear is really like, or give them a call at 813-870-1234 and tell them you heard about them on Awesome Fishing Radio. This is Captain Steve Nichols here of Awesome Fishing Radio, and along with Captain Keelan, our passion is fishing and helping others catch fish.
Captain Steve's right. We want to be on the water with our friends and family, not worrying about how we're going to get our boat there. That's why we rely on Rolls Axles trailers. Simply put, they're the most dependable trailer on the market.
That's because they're the only all-aluminum trailers made. They use only high-quality materials to produce a superior product. In fact, they have a patent on their aluminum springs.
And they're so confident that you'll never have to replace them that they offer a lifetime warranty on the spring. By using a combination of aluminum and stainless parts, Rolls Axle has created the only trailer you'll ever need.
They're located at 702 Hitchcock Street in Plant City, and you can check them out on the web at www.rollsaxle.com.
Or give them a call at 1-888-ROLLS-52. That is 1-888-765-5752. Make sure you told them that you heard about them on Awesome Fishing Radio.
Whether it's shallow water fishing you're after or just a great family time out on the water, Malibu Kayaks make the perfect craft for you. Their 9-foot Mini X is a great all-around fishing kayak with excellent maneuverability for the more serious anglers. The X-Factor model is pure fishing joy. This 14-foot boat is designed for fishing or diving. It has 3 watertight hatches for loads of storage, and it comes outfitted with flush-mounted rod holders and even has room for a live bait tank in the rear. With its sleek profile and dry ride, this kayak has quickly become the official Awesome Fishing Kayak.
It's what we use to reach those skinny water fish you hear everyone talking about. If you want to check out these kayaks, call Action Water Sports at 863-967-4148. They carry a full line of Malibu kayaks and all the accessories to go with them. Tell them Awesome Fishing sent you.
And welcome back to Awesome Fishing Radio. And tell you what, pretty good music there. Nickelback, I'm glad they enjoy they love fly fishing. You know, we trade out their music for fly fishing tours and all that. So you won't never get them on the boat, but I mean.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Just like that 160-pound phantom tarpon. But that's all right.
You know what? I did get that one. With Murph. You hadn't experienced going to fishing with Murph yet. I mean,
no.
The last time me and Daryl were down, we jumped 12 fish, boated 8 of them in one day. I mean, had a really tremendous tarpon day. You know, you're going to narrow it down on the fly, you know, and if 2 people are wanting to fish it, if it's just one, then do the fly.
Sure.
You know, but I've done a 40-pounder on fly with him. And, but anyhow, just every time I go down, me and Daryl are going down in September to fish with him. And just like I said, Great area to fish.
Yeah. Now, you're going to go back in Everglades, or are you talking about Biscayne Bay?
We'll go into Flamingo. Biscayne. Yeah. You won't go to Biscayne unless you're going after bonefish or permit.
Yeah.
They seem to, kind of have their own designated area there. And if you're going to go bonefish and permit, then you're going to go over to Biscayne Bay. And then if you're going to do snook and tarpon, and maybe a possible red, you're going to go over towards Flamingo. And like I said, just a great fishery down there. I've caught bonefish in Key Biscayne. And how much fishing have you done? Quite a bit there.
I grew up on Biscayne Bay.
Yeah.
With Stiltsville and Soldier's Key.
What skiff did you run?
The best.
What?
Hughes.
Really?
Just like yours. Old, come on, you knew that. Old 72 Hughes.
Did you have any trouble? Because in that harbor area, you got to about get up on plane to get the heck out of there.
Sure. Well, you know? I used to launch out of Dinner Key. And, I stayed on a plane. I tell you, one of the best snook trips I can remember. There's, when you're a kid, things always seem to be better than what they are when you're an adult. But I remember catching a couple of giant snook in Soldier's Key and running my Hughes all the way to Soldier's Key, which was about 10 miles off the coast of Biscayne Bay. You just about lose sight of land when you wind up at Soldier's Key. And then you go further south and you have Elliott's Key, which was a great estuary, a marine sanctuary, so you really can't fish Elliott Key. But we fished all around Soldier's Key and caught a bunch of big snook and had a lot of snapper. And, I took that Hughes to Fire Rock Lighthouse once. My dad almost beat me to death by doing that trip. But caught a lot of amberjack and, Key Biscayne was just phenomenal. But Stiltsville was at its peak before all the storms been blowing them down. Stiltsville, you
can
just catch
tons.
Now, they
don't allow them to build them back.
No, once they get knocked down, you're done. But all around them pilings and everything else for years, just great fishing. And you're talking the same thing about, permit. Permit fishing is phenomenal. We were bone fishing in Biscayne Bay before bonefish ever became popular. They were a pain in the butt. They fought like hell, and you can't eat them. So I was like, what the heck is this? And, now, of course, it's a popular sport, and people pay a ton of money for that. But Biscayne Bay, too, is huge. I mean, people don't understand how big Biscayne Bay is. They kind of take a look at it outside Miami, but Biscayne Bay runs all the way down almost into the Keys. So it's a huge estuary. Of course, Murph tells you all about that anyway. He fishes that whole entire area. We have a lot of schools that are on the water around there, and we used to do a lot of, big barracuda fishing.
That's what I was just fixing to say.
Lloyd School and Ransom School.
I heard that Stiltsville, it was some of the best barracuda fishing in the world.
Huge cudas. Back then, we started the, with the surgical tubing revolution there,
I picked up some of these this last weekend, and I'm going to ask you about how to properly fish those. You're just throwing them and cranking them.
Throw them out and rail them in.
You don't snatch them.
There's no twitching. There's nothing. You just throw them out and rail them across the top of the water and, let it create its splash, and you just hang on. And there's nothing to fish in those. But there again, too, you got to be by structure, so those cudas come out and nail it. But one of the best barracuda spots was Ransom School and Everglades School. They're right next to each other, and they're right off of, Bayshore. And just great fishing down there in general. Snapper was fantastic. We were catching around Rickenbacker Causeway when I was a kid. There was nothing to be catching, 4 to 5 pound snapper steady and big grunts. But of course, we didn't have any regulations back then. So it just got fished out. But it's coming back pretty strong. There's a guy that I know that just took over Key Biscayne Yacht Club, and he's invited us down there. And they held a couple fishing tournaments recently, and he's saying that Biscayne Bay is really coming back strong, even with all the boat traffic they have. But that whole Stiltsville area, we used to call it Featherbed because it was a big grass estuary, and it has a lot of holes up in it. And it's got some pretty deep water because you have to understand, it got some big boats that used to go back and forth to Stiltsville. So there's some channels cut in there, and a lot of fish hang up in there. We caught an amberjack underneath a Stiltsville home, close to about 30 pound.
Whoa.
That's big for an inshore amberjack. But, you're in deep water. You go right around, I can't remember the name of Key Biscayne at the end. There's a park there, and I can't remember the name of it. But as soon as you go off that park about 2 miles, you're in about 300, 400 feet of water. So, you know, you got a lot of deep water around them areas. But yeah, Miami in general really is a pretty good fishing area. You know, if you can get past the fact that you got to drive through Miami and risk getting mugged and mutilated, shot at, which is a norm, you get past all that, the fishing's
good. Well,
there
goes our chance to gain some sponsorship from Miami Tourism support.
Oh, well.
But anyhow, it...
Well, you know your boy down there, Mark Sosin and Bouncer Smith. You know, they're fishing steady down there. I mean, if you watch every other, every third or fourth Mark Sosin fishing adventure, he's fishing down in Biscayne Bay. I mean, he loves that area.
Well, I think he's from there, isn't he?
Could be. I know Bouncer Smith is, but I don't know if Mark Sosin is.
No, I thought Bouncer was down in Key West.
No, he's up in Miami. No. You know, I don't know too many Key West guides other than Jose Wahebe. Ah, shoot. Like I said, it's all good down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Merce done quite well for himself, too, you know. And hey, I didn't know, but, you know, Jeffrey Page, he won his first redfish tournament. He had wrote a little article about it in one of the magazines I was just reading. And he listed Venice as his home.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it was Sarasota.
Well, I think we're hearing a little bit of music. I think we're getting down from our first segment. And stay tuned. We're going to come back with Captain Hank Irving and talk a little bit more about fishing down in Venice area.
If there's one thing that's vital for every boater to have, it's a faithful battery. Captain Keeland of Awesome Fishing Radio depends on the folks at Battery USA to keep him hustling after the snook and redfish. Serving the Lakeland area since 1970, Battery USA carries a complete line of marine batteries, from starting batteries to deep cycle trolling batteries. Battery USA has the largest in-stock selection of batteries and electrical equipment supplies in the southeastern United States. And they work to meet the strict requirements of the most demanding boater. Located on Cumbie Road in Lakeland, Battery USA is your one-stop shop for all of your boating electrical needs. Don't forget, tell them Awesome Fishing Radio sent you.
Finally, a magazine published just for anglers who fish the Indian River Lagoon, Coastal Angler Magazine, with columns, news, events, and forums especially designed for the Florida fisherman. You can also check out the Coastal Angler online at CoastalAnglerMagazine.com. The Coastal Magazine for the Florida fisherman, Coastal Angler Magazine. It's also the magazine for Awesome Fishing Radio. Coastal Angler, subscribe today. Just log on to CoastalAnglerMagazine.com.
Tampa Bay Stitching Company is a full-scale custom embroidering company that's ready for today's growing corporate and individual needs. With over 16,000 designs on site, Tampa Bay Stitching Company is conveniently located in the Lakeland Square Mall, and they can create unique custom logos for any person, group, or occasion, including clubs, schools, parties, reunions, sports teams, and the list goes on and on. Partnering with their digitizing companies gives Tampa Bay Stitching Company the leading edge on creating special and specific custom logos for you and your business. Whether it's polo shirts, tees, caps, jackets, sweats, or other apparel, Tampa Bay Stitching Company is the complete source for all of your customized embroidery. Again, they're conveniently located in the Lakeland Square Mall. You can reach Tampa Bay Stitching Company by calling area code 863-859-5266. That's the Tampa Bay Stitching Company for all of your embroidering and customization needs.